Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Having fun tonight. Fun night, right, Mike? Fun night. We're having a good time tonight. We're going to have a real good time together. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. Rex in Newbridge Colony Canyon. How's it going tonight?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm good. I love the show, and I just wanted to say, you know, from a lot of us out here, thanks so much for giving us all something to listen to tonight instead of watching that buffoon in chief.
That's right. It's the State of the Union tonight is on tonight, and I guess Donald Trump is doing his thing up there, and that's I guess that's where most people's attention is going. But we're trying to do a different thing here. You know, we do the show, and that's what we do.
Donald Trump is president?
Yeah, yeah. He's been president for a year now. A little more than
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God. See, I don't follow politics.
Uh-huh.
You know, wow. Man, I guess it's cool that America threw caution to the wind and elected a misogynist, racist, flagrantly deranged, failed businessman to occupy the most prominent, powerful office in the world. I mean, it sounds like he could really shake some things up. Is that what he's doing?
Yes, you could say he's shaking things up. That's a pretty kind way of putting it, that he's shaking them up. I guess like the way you pick up a baby and shake it.
Oh, yeah, I see. I could see that. Hey, what's his hair doing now? Last time I caught a glimpse of that guy, it was like if Mike Score from Flock of Seagulls was like dipped in like Cheetos sort of powder. Is he still rocking that look, as they say?
Right now, it looks like if somebody tried to do really long strands of cotton candy. Like, to see how long, like cotton candy makers, to see how long.
Interesting. I can see it.
They could stretch, like, hey, I made these strands of cotton candy. And then he saw it there and then put it on his head.
I can picture it. It's almost like, what's that hair that grows in ears of corn? What's that called? Yeah, like when you shuck some corn?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like someone like bunched up a whole bunch of that corn hair. Corn hair. That's an appetizing phrase.
Corn hair. Yes. The idea if you went to like a place and they were saying, we have locally sourced corn hair. The risotto is made with locally sourced corn hair woven throughout, and it's like, oh wow, that sounds interesting. But then you realize just because they're saying it in that voice makes it sound like it's not gross.
Like at first you're all numbers and then you're all no thanks.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say I'm at any point in my life I've ever been numbers.
Never.
I don't think so.
I think it's a fun phrase. My friend Michael turned me on to that.
Turned you on to numbers?
Numbers.
Well, it's good to have friends.
It is. It's serious.
I guess it's like that song, That's What Friends Are For, right?
They'll always let you in the door unless you've stolen from them.
I guess. Those aren't the lyrics to that song.
I think so. It's an Alan Thicke song, isn't it?
I thought that was like Burt Bacharach and Carol Bayer Sager.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You know, it's a fun fact about her. She is the heiress to the Bayer Aspirin dynasty.
Carol, the songwriter, Carol Bayer Sager. I did not know that.
and also the heir to the Bob Seger fortune. So all the money he makes from Like a Rock goes to her when he dies.
Which is funny, because when I listen to Bob Seger, I get a headache. So
yes.
it actually, I would be the perfect customer for her.
Right. That Although that early Bob Seger is so good, you guys. Oh, my God. Right, guys? Oh, no. The later stuff is terrible, but the early stuff, you got to hear it. He hates it, but you need to hear this stuff.
I'll say I love the early stuff. I'm not going around beating a drum telling people to listen to it.
Well, you're the only person who's ever heard it that doesn't beat that drum.
Uh-huh. I do think it's perversely funny how withholding he is about that stuff.
He don't want us to hear that stuff.
Where people be like, any chance you could remaster that stuff? And he'll be like, no. And then they're like...
Wait, how'd you say it?
They'll say, any chance you could remaster the first three albums? And he'll go, no.
He's one of those guys where when you see an early photo of him, you don't know it's him. It's like Roy Orbison. If you see a photo of him when he was younger, you don't even know it's him.
Yeah, like you, the beard turned him into a completely different person.
It's true. It's true. Billy Gibbons from what's the band?
ZZ Top.
No. Yeah, ZZ Top.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I know. It just took me a little bit, mm-hmm. little time to click it.
Sure. You got there, though. As long as you get there, right?
Clicked in. Oh. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know? It's, hey, when you said that if you didn't know that Trump was president... Who did you mean when you were saying you didn't want to have to watch the buffoon in chief? What were you talking about then?
Oh, I was talking about that new series on Kern Prime, Buffoon in Chief.
Buffoon in Chief, what is that?
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of this Barney Miller meets The Fly sort of show. I'd love to nutshell it real quick for you.
Sure.
If you want to hear
please,
about it.
Please.
All right, well... basically, this bumbling criminal named Jeb, J-E-B, he breaks into this research lab where they're doing these secret body-altering experiments with these laser beams.
Okay.
And anyway, the silent alarm goes off, and it goes right to the local police station, and the chief of police, he gets the alarm, and he goes to the lab, and he's about to apprehend Jeb. And Jeb's hiding in the laser room, and just as the chief grabs him, the laser accidentally fires, and it hits both of them, and they meld together.
So when it's buffoon in chief, okay, so buffoon in chief, the buffoon is in, actually literally in the police chief.
Yeah, hence the title, Buffoon in Chief.
Yes, wow.
But, you know, it honestly, it's a stinker.
Okay.
Yeah. Jake Fogelnest was actually executing that this non-laugher, but he quit because its suckage was so flagrant.
Okay.
And also, they wouldn't let him hang a Fabulous Stains poster in the police station scenes.
Yeah. Was he going to hang it at a jaunty angle?
Yeah, he was going to hang it at a completely unrealistic angle that... no one in real life ever hangs their posters at, yet 100% of all music posters in any sort of filmed entertainment, that's what they hang
sure.
at a crooked one.
The amount of, I'll ask you this question. In
yes.
America,
mm-hmm.
how many times has someone decided to hang an Archers of Loaf poster at a 45-degree angle on their dorm room wall? How many times
are
has
we
that
talking,
actually
are we talking
happened?
In
real
oh,
world.
Zero. Zero.
How many times that somebody hung an Archers of Loaf poster in a movie or uh-huh. television show, did they hang it at a jaunty angle?
100%.
Yes. Very strange.
It is.
It is funny that some set designer is saying, kids are nuts, and they're just crazy, and they like things at weird angles.
Yeah. I'll tell you, speaking of, I was all excited about this Waco show.
Yeah.
I can't remember what network, but I was into it for like 10 minutes, and then there's this scene where Koresh is playing in a band, and these drums are from like Guitar Center 2 months ago, and this thing's supposed to take place in the late 80s, early 90s. No, thank you.
And that took you right out of it.
I stopped watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow.
Can't watch that.
Look, everybody's got their thing. That's your thing.
It is. Oh, you know, speaking of Buffoon in Chief.
Yeah.
This is so lame. There's also this completely shoehorned S-U-C-E happening the whole time.
What is S-U-C-E?
That's a stand-up comedy element.
Okay.
Yeah. See, Jeb's friend Jeb, he's trying to find Jeb, you know, throughout all the episodes.
Uh-huh.
And he's trying to make it in the real world of stand-up comedy. Uh-huh. And he does a tight two at the Chortle Portal every episode.
Okay.
Yeah, stuff's kind of weak. He's actually played by Michael Shannon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of, perhaps you could answer me this. Are there more than one Michael Shannons?
Michael Shannon. I mean, I'm sure that a name that's as relatively common as that, I'm sure there's multiple Michael Shannons.
No, I mean, are there more than one of the actor Michael Shannon? Because he's literally been in every piece of scripted entertainment I've seen over the last 12 months.
Yes,
all of everything.
He works a fair amount. I think his IMDb, they list what he wasn't in.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. What if Michael Shannon, what if the multiple Michael Shannons made a movie with the multiple J.K. Simmonses, the other guy that's in every movie?
Yeah, that would be something. So are you saying there would be 14
like,
Michael Shannons?
Exactly.
I mean, what if it's a football movie or something and they both are the teams?
And the coaches.
And the coaches. And they might as well be the audience also. The
everything.
People in the stands.
Play by play?
Yeah. The announcers, the fans in the stands. Yeah. Those guys, you'd think. I'm interested to know if there's something that J.K. Simmons is saving up for. Where he's
like something. Like to purchase because he's making so much bank. Is that what you're saying?
Or if he's just like, if I do six more movies, I can afford that building I want to buy.
Yep. Like, I can afford that building on that island that I'm also buying.
He's just like, yeah. I wonder if he's been saving and saving. Just he's like so tired. He's on the set of a movie and he's just like, I leave tonight. I wrap on this movie, and then I go do another movie tomorrow.
Right.
But I'm so tired. But I just got to keep going, and then I can afford that building on that island.
It's like Johnny Ramone. He wanted to end it having $1 million in the bank, and I think he did it.
$1 million.
I think so.
Like
and then he enjoyed it for 2 years. That's so mean. Why did I say that?
But it's kind of a cautionary tale, I would say.
It is.
Positive thing you can take from what you said. Is that
that's true.
You can't just chase the almighty dollar.
I do though.
You do well. I think we all do to a degree.
Hey, speaking of,
yeah,
you're in the Writers Guild, right?
I am. Yes.
Maybe you could answer me this. Was there an actual decree that came from the Guild that stated that 80% of all current movies and TV shows must have a scene where someone gets run down completely out of the blue by a bus or a car just a half second after they've said something very important?
Look, there was no decree.
Mm-hmm.
There's not some command from the top of the guild that but it is in so many things, people just getting run down, like surprisingly run down.
Oh yeah, like violently, blah, 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 bloop, gone.
Yeah, like moved out of frame by the bus.
Yep, a real frame mover.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you watch these buses drive around town, and it seems like they're stopping and starting so much. It seems like they don't go. It seems like you could get bumped by a bus and just kind of you'd be all right with how slow.
You might not even feel it.
Yeah.
What was that? Oh, it was a bus.
I'd say you'd feel it, but
I got nudged. I got a bus nudge.
You got a bus
nudge. I got a bus nudge over here.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny. I asked Paul Rudd about this the other night. He practically bit my head off.
You asked Paul, where did you meet Paul Rudd to ask him about this?
Oh, I work at the Newbridge Canyon Colony General Store, that hip general store.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know all about it. It's a really, for people who don't know, Newbridge Canyon Colony is this very exclusive, very hip community filled with artists and celebrities who all have homes out there. Yeah,
it's cool. There's so many FPs who come to the store. It's great. Who have I seen recently? Paul Rudd, Kate Hudson, Merle Allen, Patton Oswalt.
Oh, wow. Name it. I didn't know Patton Oswalt had a home out there.
Oh no, not the comedian. I'm talking about Pat and Oswalt, the ventriloquist act. Had you seen this?
I have not. No, I don't think I've seen. Was it Pat?
And Pat and Oswald.
I don't think so.
So scary! You're going to freak out when you see this thing. I can't tell who's the person and who's the dummy in this thing. Mm-hmm. They're the exact same size and height, and when they come in the store, it looks like they're both walking under their own power.
The ventriloquist and the dummy.
Yes.
And you're not sure who's who.
Exactly.
Is there a
that would freak you out, right?
Please. That sounds so creepy. Is there a chance that they're both just people?
That's not something I've ever considered.
Or is it clear that one of them is like, well, I mean, can you base it on the purchases, maybe? Like, does one person buy food and the other one doesn't? I don't know.
One buys water.
Okay.
And the other doesn't buy anything. And then the one, when they get out, the one drinks the water.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll watch from inside. They're out in the parking lot, and they'll be talking to someone while the one drinks water and the other one does the talking.
Okay, that is a ventriloquist act, then. That's very strange.
See? Yeah, I thought I was right.
Very weird.
Interesting.
Yeah, that would be unsettling.
It is. You know, Andy Kindler, he comes in. He's got this gorgeous lean-to up there. It's really nice.
Oh, wow.
He's great. And although it's funny, I do get into trouble sometimes because when he's checking out, I get him to do these Leno riffs. Uh-huh. And it holds up the line. You know, he'll do the thing. I'll go, please do the one that I love, and he'll do the one that's like, maybe you could even do it about the Leno having a car that runs on not spending his Tonight Show money. Could you do it, please? I love your impressions.
Of Andy, I don't know if I can do an Andy Kindler impression. I know I can do Andy Kindler when he's just like, I was watching MASH the other day, and I was, it was on Channel 2 and Channel 4, and then now they have the MASH channel. And then he would just say something about, it's like when Jimmy Fallon is has Pol Pot on the show, and they're they're playing beer pong. It'd be like a Jay Leno. Be like, yeah, then he would just say something. Jay drives, like, yeah, where's it? We're still not sure what you're doing with your money, Jay. If you touch, we're still not sure if you're touching the Tonight Show money.
Good stuff.
Didn't get the memo.
Didn't get the memo. That's the one. He says that every time. Yeah. Every time. It's great. Yeah. You know, it was here the other day.
Who's that?
Dan Rather. And he was with Gene Simmons of the rock band Kiss.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to bother them because they were shooting B-roll for this this interview show that Dan Rather does for Axis. Have you seen this thing where Dan Rather will do these interviews with it's usually with music people, sometimes actors, but with the music people, it's like he only seems to have the most cursory knowledge of them as people and almost zero knowledge of their music. So it's really weird.
Very strange. I have seen a couple of those. If anybody in that interview chair was doing those interviews and if they weren't Dan Rather doing the same interview, half those performers would get up and storm out.
Right?
Because this is an insult that this is what the interview is. Yeah.
Guess what song he asked John Fogerty to play for him?
A Fortunate Son?
No, he did mention that song, but Dan Rather referred to it as Fortunate One.
Oh, so yeah, and he gets facts wrong too. He has such a poor working knowledge of the material.
Yeah.
That these legendary artists have come up with. So what song was it?
Proud Mary, that deep cut.
Yeah, that deep. Yeah. A song that John Fogerty probably doesn't even believe he wrote at this point. It's just like,
exactly.
Like, it's almost such a huge song. He's like, there's no way I could have written that, right? Like, there's
no way.
Yeah, that seems like it had to have been like, here since the beginning of time, that song.
Yeah.
Like that he sat down with a pad one day and wrote at the top of it, Proud Mary. It's such a weird thing that's
the story.
Yeah.
First thing he wrote in the first songwriting notebook he bought.
It was Proud Mary.
Just the title. Isn't that nuts?
That is nuts.
I'm dying to know what those guys talked about, though, Dan Rather and Gene Simmons. Can you imagine what that interview is like?
So if Dan Rather was interviewing Gene Simmons, yeah, I could. That sounds
like, what would it be like
if Dan Rather was interviewing Gene Simmons?
Yeah, you be Dan Rather, and I'll be Gene Simmons.
Okay, let's think. It's very exciting sitting here with one of the four members of the heavy metal group, Kiss, that with their shock rock antics sold millions of records. And I'm here with Gene Simmons, who played the character of the ghoul. And
well, Dan, close but no guitar. Actually, I don't play the ghoul, I play the demon, and I do want to correct you. Kiss has not only sold millions of records, we are America's number one gold record award winning group. Bigger than the Beatles.
You have many gold records to honor your accomplishments. It's very exciting. So many of the songs I've enjoyed by Kiss over the years, like Hell Is Hot and Detroit Guitar Boogie.
Okay. Okay, well, that's, I can't even go any further. That's
no, that's
I'm laughing my A off over here.
Yeah,
you're good. You should have your own program.
You should. I do. You're calling it. You should have your own program.
Wait, this is a show?
Yes.
I'm busting your V's.
Yeah, of course.
You know who came in the other day? This was so exciting.
Who's that?
Neil Young.
Whoa, that's a big one.
Yeah. And it was so cool because we just happened to have one of his albums on hand, and he signed it to me. It was so cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Which album did you get to sign?
The Pointer?
The Pointer.
Yeah.
I don't know The Pointer. That's... What's on... Do you know any of the songs that are on The Pointer?
Yeah. What's on it? Come On Baby, Let's Go Downtown is on that. Roll Another Number. Tonight's the Night is on that.
That album is called Tonight's the Night.
Well, I know that song's on it, but the album's called that.
That's the name of the album. Now, can I ask you a question, Rex?
Mm-hmm.
Were you by any chance bitten by a garden bush pig recently?
It's funny you mention it because I was actually. It got me right in the upper haunches when I was bending over to tend to my Swiss chard.
Yes, I think you might want to get it checked out. It sounds like you've got a case of tinnitus from that bite.
Oh, no. I heard that might be one of the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Ugh, great. Oh, man. Hey, speaking of music, are you going to go see Jawbreaker in Brooklyn?
I don't know if I'm actually going to make it out to the show. I'm not sure.
Oh, you got to go. You got to go. It's the event of the Centaur.
The event of the Centaur. No, it's the event. It's the event of the. It's not the event of the Centaur. It's the event of the.
Yes, it is.
The century. The century.
What do you think it is?
Century. The word century, not Centaur.
Event of the Centaur.
No, a Centaur is a mythological creature that's like half man, half horse.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but it's the event of the century.
I thought when something was really exciting that it's the event of the Centaur, because the Centaur is sort of the Greek god of excitement, right?
No, that's not.
I thought the story of this myth was there was this guy and he was so excited because he was going to get presents for his birthday that he was running home so fast to get the presents that he ended up almost like we were talking about earlier. He ran into something and he melded with it, and so that's how he became a centaur.
No, that's not what it is at all. You're way off base.
Huh. I guess we could argue about that all night. So you're not going to go to the show?
I'm not sure.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks anyway. Good night.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not. Excuse me. It's not. Wait, is he gone? He hung up. That's very weird. It's very weird. Weird stuff.